Chapter 18. It's a small world. Should I? Do I? No. I pull away about a half second before his lips touch mine. Adam, I say, I have a boyfriend. Did I just almost kiss one boy less than 10 minutes after telling another boy I loved him? What is wrong with me?
I'm sorry, Adam says. I thought you felt the same way. I didn't know you had a boyfriend. I think you're really cool, Rachel.
He covers his face with his gloves.
I'm sorry.
I'm not sure what to say. It's my fault. I should have told you. I don't know why I didn't. Okay, I do. Because I didn't want him to know. Because I might like him.
Who's your boyfriend?
He asks.
Do I know him?
No. He's not a warlock. He doesn't even know about... I motion around me. Any of this.
So it isn't serious?
No, it is.
Doesn't sound serious,
he mutters.
Hey,
I heard that.
Well, he doesn't know anything about you.
Yes, he does.
Not the most important part. Don't you want to date someone you have more in common with? Someone who gets what you're going through?
My voice trails off. As if this moment can't get any more awkward, my cell phone starts to ring. I know it's Raph without even having to look. Stupid intuition. I let it ring and ring. Adam doesn't comment, and neither do I. I have to get out of here. Why won't this stupid chairlift start working? Chairlifts start to run, 'cause this awkwardness is no fun. The chairlift jerks to a start. I arrive home feeling lousy. Partly because of the Adam incident, partly because Raph has called 3 times and I haven't picked up, and partly because my butt hurts from my tumble down the mountain. Also, I'm almost out of go spell. I need to make more of that stuff pronto. Miri, on the other hand, is on cloud 11.
We took the chairlift up together, she tells me while we get ready for bed. He put his arm around me. Did you see him board? He was even worse than I was. Tee-hee! I had to show him how to turn. It was so cute. He's so cute. And then he...
I zone her out, a pit growing in my stomach. Adam didn't say one word to me after the chairlift debacle. We quickly joined up with the rest of the group and then froze each other out. I wait until I'm in bed before calling Raph back. I hope he didn't hear what I said before. You know, the L word. I really, really hope he didn't hear. There was static. Lots of static. I'm sure he didn't hear. Hi, I say, my heart pounding.
Hi,
he says. He did not hear. I'm sure he didn't. Sorry it took so long to call you back. Silence. He heard, and he doesn't feel the same, and now he's going to break up with me. He heard, and he somehow knows that I almost let another guy kiss me, and now he hates me.
About what you said before,
he begins. I hold my breath.
I love you too,
he says. I drop the phone, but then quickly pick it back up. Really?
Yeah.
Another silence. He said he loves me. The boy I've been crazy about since the first day of freshman year just told me he loves me. Raph Khosravi loves me. Officially. I should be thrilled. I should be dancing up and down. Fine, maybe not dancing. I don't want to scare the neighbors, but I should at least be shaking my arms with joy or cartwheeling. But instead, my eyes prickle with tears. "Cool," is all I can choke out.
"And I'm so happy you said it. You've been acting kind of weird lately, and I was worried that, I don't know, that you didn't, you know, like me anymore."
"That's crazy," I say. "How could you even think that?"
"Well, you didn't want to meet up with me when you were shopping, and then you fell asleep when I was over, and you kind of blew me off today."
My heart sinks. "I'm so sorry. Honestly, I've just had a lot going on. You know, with family and stuff. None of my weirdness had anything to do with you. At all. Really. Nothing makes me happier than having you as my boyfriend."
"Good,"
he says. "Good." We talk about classes and school and his jackets, and when we finally get off the phone, I hug my pillow to my chest, tears in my eyes. 'Cause I love Raph. I really do. And yeah, he said I love you, and he might even believe it. But it doesn't mean much if he doesn't love the real me. It's no better, no more real, than him being enchanted with me because of a love spell. I sigh. And the next time he feels like I'm distracted, what happens then? "So," I say when I sit down in homeroom, "how was your weekend?" Tammy turns to me, her lip quivering. And I know. "Oh my God, you broke up," she nods. I leap up and hug her.
"It was tough, but I think it's the right thing to do," she tells me.
"You broke up with him?"
"Kind of. I think it was mutual. I know people always say that, but this time it really was. We care about each other, but we're just in different places. We're still going to stay friends, though."
"When did it happen?" I ask.
"Last night."
"You should have called me."
"I would have, but we got off the phone at like 3 in the morning and I figured it was too late."
"It's never too late when it's that important."
"I was going to text you, but I was too drained."
Her eyes tear up.
"But thanks, Rachel. I know you're here for me."
Then Tammy says she's sick of talking about her and Bosch.
"Your turn to tell me what's been bugging you lately."
"What? Me? Nothing's bugging me. Why would you say that?" She shrugs.
"I can tell when something's bothering you."
I swallow. Now she's going to be mad at me too? "I just have a lot going on right now." She studies me.
"Anything bad?"
"No," I say quickly.
"If you need someone to talk to, you know I'm always here to listen."
"Thanks," I say, and my head pounds. Why does everything have to be so complicated? Reading The Crucible doesn't put me in a better mood.
Do you know what happens in The Crucible? Do you know what they do to alleged witches in that book?
No, that horror novel?
They take them to the gallows, i.e., they hang them.
I rub my neck as I read.
This is exactly why I can't tell anyone my secret. What if they tell someone who tells someone who tells someone, and then people try to kill me?
Fine, they probably wouldn't send me to the gallows, per se, since New York doesn't have the death penalty.
But they could still do bad stuff.
I've seen high school mobs, and they're usually evil. Case in point. The next day, Tammy and I are on our way to chemistry when we spot Wendolyn. "Hey, Wendolyn," we both say. Unfortunately, our greeting is followed by, "Wendolyn, Wendolyn, Wendolyn." It sounds like the wailing of a ghost, but as far as I know, JFK is not haunted. Instead, it's Cassandra and her posse chanting my friend's name. Her cheeks bright red, Wendolyn is staring at Cassandra. She tugs a lock of her short hair behind her ear and then fidgets with the shirt I bought with her.
Wendolyn, Wendolyn, Wendolyn.
Why are they doing this to her? Tammy asks, fists clenched around her notebook. I'm going to tell them to stop. I grab hold of her arm. Don't! I don't want Cassandra going after Tammy, too. I've been the target of the A-list, and it's no fun. She can handle it.
What kind of a name is Wendolyn, anyway? Cassandra says. Sounds made up to me. Just like your story about being a witch. Wendolyn.
This is ridiculous, Tammy mutters. I keep shaking my head. I want to tell Cassandra off, too, but I can't. I just can't. I can't be too obvious. I can't have everyone staring at me.
Do you know what they used to do to witches? Cassandra continues. They used to throw them in the ocean to see if they would use magic to float. Maybe we should take you for a swim in the Hudson?
I think I'm going to be sick. It's the crucible come to life.
That's it.
Tammy slips out of my grasp and storms across the hall to Cassandra.
You better shut up,
she orders. Cassandra laughs.
Or what?
Or I'll report you to Mrs. Conch for threatening the life of a student.
Oh, really?
Cassandra says, crossing her arms. Her curls stick out at jagged angles like weapons. She's like Medusa. Now Tammy crosses her arms.
Really? Then you'll get expelled.
What is Tammy doing? She's going to get herself thrown into the Hudson. And that's a polluted pool of water that even she wouldn't want to explore. I press my back against a locker and try to be invisible.
Not really invisible, obviously, because that would really be giving myself away.
Or not. I'm confusing myself.
And why would anyone believe you?
Cassandra snaps. Tammy juts out her chin.
Who do you think they're going to believe? A sophomore with a 4.0 GPA? Or an obnoxious fashion show poseur?
Ouch.
Cassandra narrows her eyes. You better watch yourself.
You don't scare me, Tammy says, grabbing Wendolyn's arm and leading my flabbergasted friend into the bathroom.
The chant begins again immediately. Wendolyn, Wendolyn, Wendolyn.
I keep my head down and hurry into the bathroom behind them. I had no idea Tammy was so strong. Wow. I'm both incredibly impressed and incredibly terrified. Tammy and Wendolyn are both holding on to the sinks.
Are you crazy?
I ask Tammy. Now you're on her hit list, too.
I'm not afraid of her,
Tammy says. But the trembling of her legs gives her away. She turns to Wendolyn.
You okay?
A wide-eyed Wendolyn nods.
I need to sit down, Tammy says breathlessly. Coming, Rachel?
You go ahead, I say. I'll be 2 secs. Wendolyn moves to follow her out the door, but I hold her back.
You have to stay out of Cassandra's way,
I tell her, or we're all going to find frogs in our lockers. Is that what you want?
Of course not, Wendolyn cries. I'm trying.
What else can I do?
From now on, we stay away from her locker, I order. Got it? Gwendolyn throws up her hands.
But how am I supposed to do that without appearing or disappearing in school? You told me not to do that.
No magic. Just take the back stairs up to bio and away from her evil lair. Can you do that? She nods. And there's one more thing.
What?
Your name is too witchy sounding. Cassandra is right. From now on, tell everyone. I take a deep breath. To call you Wendy. Her shoulders hunch, deflated.
Wendy,
she echoes. I nod. Maybe that will help. They can't make fun of a nice, normal name like Wendy, can they? Adam was right. You have to keep your witch world and your school world separate. It's too dangerous otherwise. Although, he also said I should be dating a warlock. Was he right about that, too? No, he can't be. How can I date a warlock when there's a Norlock I'm crazy about? I open the bathroom door and peer out to make sure the coast is clear. Wendy, follows me down the hall. I swallow the lump in my throat and hope I'm leading her in the right direction. Symbolically, I mean. I do know my way around school, you know. I've only gotten lost that one time. Receiving my first sim invitation that night cheers me up. The package arrives right before bed. It appears smack in the center of our living room. It's a big red box wrapped in a black bow. In silver glitter, it says, "For Rachel and Miri Weinstein."
Mom, is that from you?
I yell.
Is what from me?
She calls out from her bedroom. Guess not. I tap it twice to see if it explodes. Nope. Probably not a bomb, then.
Miri, come look. We got something.
Inside the box stands a shining 2-foot-tall gold Oscar statue. Did you secretly try out for the school play or something? I ask.
Zap!
Suddenly, the box disappears and out rolls a red carpet. Except, instead of rolling straight, it spells out cursive letters on our living room floor. Please join me when I become Simsorta, Friday the 13th of October at 7:30 in the evening in the Kodak Theater, 6801 Hollywood Boulevard, Los Angeles, California. Michael Davis.
That's where they hold the Academy Awards, I say.
Cool, Miri says. I can't wait.
Who are we with that weekend?
Dad, I say. She plays with her fingers.
Maybe it's a good opportunity to tell him.
No, I say forcefully. Why are you so obsessed with telling Dad? Mom never told him.
But she told Lex, Miri says. And anyway, not telling Dad was different. She didn't want to be a witch then. We're making witchcraft part of our lives. Why should we hide who we are?
We can't go around telling everyone what we are. Not everyone is going to think it's hunky-dory that we're witches, okay? Some people are going to find it weird. Some people are going to find it scary. Some people might even try to send us to the gallows. Miri rolls her eyes.
You're being insanely paranoid.
I jab my finger into her chest. You read the Crucible, then talk to me about being paranoid.
We don't live in 1692,
she says, waving her hand in the air.
It's the 21st century. Anyway, our father is not going to send us off to be hanged.
Obviously not. But I still don't think it's a good idea. He'll have to tell Jennifer, and they could get freaked out or be afraid of us.
Well, we have to tell him something, she insists.
No, we don't, I say. It's called for 7:30, which is 10:30 our time. We'll just tell him we're going to bed early and sneak out. She sighs.
I would rather just tell him the truth.
Well, I wouldn't, I snap. I have enough on my mind without having to worry about telling Dad, Adam and Raph, and almost being exposed at school. I shake my head and then try to change the subject. So, where are all your witch friends tonight? She frowns.
Everyone was invited to some guy's simsorta at the Bellagio in Vegas.
Someone from Losatia?
Yeah, but no one we're friends with. I mean, I'm my witch book friends with him, but that's it.
Want to crash it? I ask.
No, I want to be invited.
She sighs and sits down in the middle of the red writing.
Do you think we'll still be invited to Adams, or are we both on the outs?
You noticed that, huh? I sit down beside her and rest my head on her stomach. He tried to kiss me on the chairlift. She groans.
How come your non-boyfriend knows to try to kiss you on the chairlift, and my maybe boyfriend doesn't?
Because Adam is 16 and Corey is only 14. Guys get more suave with age. She giggles.
So, what did you do?
I pulled away. What else could I do? I pause. I told him I have a boyfriend.
Do you like him, though? Adam, I mean?
I try to unravel the way I feel before answering. I do. He gets me. But Raph makes my heart beat a little faster, you know?
Oh, I know, she says. Corey does both of those.
Show off.